Some of you may have experienced or participated in what some people would call a trust fall. In those trust fall, you are encouraged to stand if you are the direct participant and close your eyes and trust those who are around you and just fall back. And just as you're about to hit the ground, they grab you with maybe six sets of arms, or maybe for me it might take eight sets of arms, Kathy, but a quantity that is worth saving you from hitting the ground will capture you at the last moment. I don't know if some of you witnessed on the internet or social media once I saw a trust fall in which they didn't explain exactly correctly to the participant how it was supposed to work, because as he was standing there and they said, close your eyes and just begin to fall and we'll catch you. So they were all behind him, ready for him to go, and he leaned forward and fell flat on his face. When we trust, sometimes we can fall on our face, right? That is, if we trust in the wrong direction or the wrong things to sustain us. In our scripture today, we hear this text that perhaps is familiar to some of us about this journey where Jesus is ministering on his way to Jerusalem. One of his last public acts of ministry on this earth. And he begins to rationalize and inspire and provoke the disciples to their trust even more fervently in him and his ministry and his love. You know, we hear this passage where he speaks to them about beware of the scribes. And I don't know about y'all, but when I hear gospel readings like this, I try to place myself, what is this saying to me? How is this challenging me on my journey of faith? And to be honest, I've got to say, I'm happy I'm not a scribe. But as I look around me, the culture and the world around us, we don't use that language scribe so much in our current culture. And I was challenged by the words of Tim Keller to look a little deeper and wonder what it is or who it is in all of us that God is challenging us this morning. I want to read a little passage from Keller where he shared in a devotion recently on September 30th. And he said this. He said, dear social media friends, wow, I talked about the trust fall. Now Keller's hitting us in another way on social media. He says, God sometimes mocks. And for some things, we deserve it. Yes, it's those habitually constant mocks, those who sit in the seat of mockers, as the psalmist would say, that are in great spiritual danger, Keller would challenge us. He says, mockers nurture high pride in themselves. They appear to be knowing and sophisticated, but truly ruin relationships with those around them. They cut off from the truth that only the humble can discover. They're cut off from that truth. He quoted C.S. Lewis. Listen to this. Lewis once said, to see through everything is to see nothing at all. Keller went on finally, one more paragraph here. Preachers and teachers who mock with a great deal of mockery toward their opponents, instead of speaking the truth in love, often nurture abusive spirits that bring down their ministries in the grace. He says many in social media, their main goal, their main stance is to mock and deride people who have positions that differ from their own or oppose them. By this, the spiritual dangerousness for them is that it accomplishes nothing for their side either. God mocks the proud, but shows favor to the humble, the oppressed. See, what I hear Keller saying there and challenged even more deeply from the gospel writer Mark today is for us, as people of Christ, to embody a spirit of humility as we seek to serve the world through Christ's love and for God's glory. Yes, there is the challenge in our text today about giving. How do we give ourselves to the church, to the ministry of the world around us? Are we sacrificially serving those around us for God's glory? But you know, as I wrestle with this text today, I think the essence of true righteousness is not so much about how much we give to God, but how much we allow God to give to us. Have you ever thought about it from that perspective? Jesus challenges his listeners in our text today when we give out of our abundance, or if it's not hurting in our giving, are we truly embracing our full devotion to God? He used the example, the analogy of the widow this day who gave all she had. You see, she gave all she had because she knew all she had was from God. If we truly embrace our devotion, not so much in what we can do for God, but in what God can do for us, friends, that is when transformation can occur in our life, our family, our ministry, the world around us. I feel the call of Jesus in this text today as he's speaking to his disciples and to us modern day disciples. Will you truly be devoted and put your trust in me? Isn't that what it means to have faith? As Paul the Apostle encouraged us as he wrote to the church in Rome and he spoke of Abraham's righteousness, he said, Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, friends, when we put our trust in God, our devotion in Christ, it changes the way we respond, right? I saw recently, in fact, last Sunday, one of the NFL football games. Many of the people were decorated in their Halloween costumes this year for football. And I saw one team who's had a particularly horrific season. They haven't won a game all year. And one of the persons in the crowd had a paper bag over their head. You couldn't see their face. You remember the Saints used to do those every once in a while, right? This person had a paper bag over their head, and written across the top was, "This is not a costume." In other words, they were for real in their embarrassment. But why were they still at the game? Because they were hopelessly devoted to their team. Such is the pain of being an Ole Miss Rebel or a Mississippi State Bulldog. At times, we are hopelessly devoted to our team through the good, the bad, and yes, even in the spirit of the Saints fans from of old, even in the ugly. We're devoted, and we give of ourselves, and we sacrifice to the point that sometimes it hurts, right? See, that's just a small glimpse, friends, of I think what Jesus is calling us to today as he embodies the ministry of the widow who truly put all of her trust in God. Her devotion to the point of depth and despair because she knew all she had was from God. I think our Lord, in this text today, to strengthen our faith in the present, reminds us to look in the past and in the future. Now let me say it this way. I heard recently that there was a fraternal organization, Price, at the University of Mississippi, who had been put on probation. The fraternity got put on probation, and a friend of mine was the advisor for this particular, the alumni advisor for this fraternity. And he said, we had to go. We got called on the carpet. We had to go before the national fraternity. Go before the conference. We were facing suspension. We were on probation. And he said, everything y'all are telling me we've done. Every bit of it. We own it. But let me tell you what we're going to do from here. You see, as he tried to paint a future, he spoke of the past. As he spoke of the future, he said that to those he was before to say, this is what our present is going to look like. We know the mistakes we've made, and we make a promise that we're going to fix things in the future. Will you allow us to work with you in the present? See, in a far greater way. I think that's what Jesus was calling his disciples to in our text today. Remember that God has been with you in the past. And remember, friends, that God will sustain you in the future. You see, that's what inspires us. To put all of our trust in God when we remember what he's done and what he will do. Then we too can have the faith of the widow in our text today. It reminds me of the faith of Ruth. That was also one of our readings today for our lectionary. Ruth, that great woman of faith and commitment to love and family. You know her story. Some of you do. Ruth, who lost her husband along with her sister-in-law, and they were in this foreign land, and they came back home, and Naomi said to Ruth, you should go back home. You should go back to Moab and find a husband who can take care of you, who can love you, who can nurture you. And Ruth said, no, your home will be my home. I am devoted to you. Through Ruth's love and devotion, God had a plan for her that she could have never imagined, Tommy, where she became the very grandmother of King David, the pioneer for many of us who are people of faith. You see, it was Ruth's devotion, her trust in her love of her family that God used to transform the very face of the earth. Friends, I believe that we still have a God of transformation. And when we, in every way we can, will humble ourselves and try in every way we can to help our faith not simply to be about what we can do for God, but never forget what God can do for us. For even as I'm challenging us this day to be more devoted to God, may we never forget what Jennifer read to us this morning in the Hebrews writing. That as much as we're committed to strive in devotion, may we remember how devoted our Savior was to us, is to us, and will always be to us. He went to the highest heavens. He embraced the full measure of sacrifice. We speak of giving until it hurt. Friends, our God gave his very life that we may not only live, but live life more abundantly. He went into heaven and pled the case for you and for me and all who trust in him. Do you understand the depths of God's commitment to you and sacrifice for you as his children? You know, when I moved into the presidency at Memphis Theological Seminary, I wouldn't say inundated, but I would say multiple requests for people to write them letters of recommendations, speak on their behalf. And initially, Kathy, I thought, no problem at all. I can always say something nice about someone. And then I had a friend of mine who said, after I'd written a letter of recommendation, they said, you know what? I didn't even have to meet the person. If Jody was for, then I was for. You know what that made me do? It made me pause. You better be careful what you say about someone. Because not only are you speaking for them, but if you mess it up, you're speaking about yourself. You're putting your own credibility on the line, right? When you stand up for someone. Friends, in a far greater way, listen what Jesus Christ did. He went into heaven and stood up for you and said to the Father and King of glory that Robert is worthy to be called your child. Lynn is welcome into the kingdom of heaven. Elizabeth is precious through my blood. I stand up for you. Will you embrace my love and serve this world for my glory now and forever? Friends, I'm hopelessly devoted to the one who devoted all, that we may have life and abundant joy in him. Amen. I invite you now to join with me and to pray with me as we lift up together this portion of our worship, the prayers of the people. Let's pray. Oh my God, what a joy it is to join with your people, to lift up in prayer concerns and joys with each other, with those who love us and those that we're called to love. We pray for the ministry of our church. What a blessed gift you are to this congregation. It is your grace, O God, that sustains us and utilizes us to give your love not only in what we say, but in what we do to the world around us. Will you continue to guide us with your mercy and your providential care as we serve this world as your hands and feet? We pray for each person we've mentioned by name today and those we minister here within this sanctuary and those joining us virtually today. Wherever there is illness, whether it be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, professional, God, we know you are the physician, the one who brings restoration. But we pray not only for our congregation or even our denomination of faith, but wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed, will you inspire, O God, and empower your people in ministry. We pray for our nation. We're grateful to be citizens in this land of liberty and freedom. We give thanks for the veterans who risked their life and even gave their life that we may cherish this great feast of liberty as we remember them this week. We pray, O God, that you guard the hearts and minds of our leaders, those elected by our land to represent us, our president, our Senate, the Congress, the Supreme Court. We pray for our state, our county, and city governing bodies. We ask you to guide any who hold authority in the spirit of Micah, your prophet, to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly, O God, in your way. We pray for the least, the last, and the lost. For every person, as we've mentioned on our prayer list, and the names that go unspoken, will you bring healing and wholeness and miracles of grace for friends and family as we pray for each one, one another and with one another. Will you bring your grace to bear in our lives? Now, God, as your children, as those claimed by you and set apart to share you with those around us, will you receive our prayer that we lift together as one that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.